Sometimes, when the moment is right and the sparks fly, dating can be magic. But even the most romantic connection can get a little awkward.
And the dog's kind of watching us at this point, and so it started to lick my ear.
True Dating Stories is the new CBC podcast that explores the messy corners of romance. Real-life tales told by the people who live them.
I'm tied up on this dude's bed, and there's nobody around to help.
True Dating Stories is available from CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I have always been a conservative Republican.
Exit stage right.
Are you dreading daylight saving time?
Life in plastic? It's fantastic. Especially if you ask Shania Twain.
Because news.
With Gavin Crawford.
Why, hello, everyone. I'm Gavin Crawford. Welcome to Because News, Canada's funniest news quiz. Major League Baseball spring training has begun, and players have taken issue with their brand new uniforms, which are so translucent they're practically see-through. On the bright side, the new uniforms will make it much easier for spectators to catch foul balls. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll be making games out of the news. Let us welcome this week's panel. Last time he was on the show, he was the mayor of Calgary. Now he's just a regular guy with no political ambitions whatsoever. Repping the West, it's Nahid Nanchi.
Loser of Canada Reads, about to lose because news.
She may not be Netflix, but she is here to bring all sorts of Korean drama. That's right, from Kim's Convenience, it's Jean Yoon. And finally, they are getting ready to launch their new comedy festival, Just for Cash. It's the hilarious and financially savvy Adjonis Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you can e-transfer me anytime.
All right, panel, are you seated semi-comfortably?
Ish.
Semi-yes. Uh-huh.
That's how we like it. Then let's begin.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Hear ye, panel. This week's news cycle was awash in big announcements, and our job is to sort through them all by bringing out the big wheel of announcements. That's right. As you can see, here comes the spectacular gold-plated lighty-up wheel.
It's amazing.
Take a moment to marvel at it and roll up your sleeves.
Oh.
And please get ready to spin the wheel of announcements. Jean, you are up first. Spin that wheel.
All right.
Ooh, a healthy spin. Round and round she goes. And... okay, okay.
I can't read it.
Oh, you've landed on the United States of America.
Oh. Mm.
This week, Americans heard a major announcement that could change the course of their future. Panel, what game-changing update came out of the U.S. this week?
What big update came out?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Windows 12?
It was not.
Oh, I know this one. This week after Super Tuesday, Nikki Haley announced that she might actually be Indian.
Oh.
Nad gets the point on that one. It was, in fact, Nikki Haley's announcement that she is suspending her campaign. Mm-hmm. The NBC News headline reads, Nikki Haley ends presidential campaign with no regrets.
I don't think that's big news.
nor do I think she has no regrets.
Yeah. Well, after winning only one state on Super Tuesday, Vermont, Haley announced Wednesday she would be ending her bid for the White House, all but ensuring the 2024 presidential race will be a Trump-Biden rematch.
She didn't say end. She said suspend. I'm going to suspend my campaign. I think she's waiting until Trump cannot run, and they're going to have to swing somebody else in. Personally, that's what I think. He is so far gone, this man. At some point, we're going to see him walk on stage and start undressing and wandering around, muttering, Melania, Melania, whatever. He's nuts.
Yeah, but even if that happens, it doesn't matter. Because, yeah. Like, I feel like they could 100% weekend at Bernie's this entire campaign. And, like, the voters are going to be like, I'm going there anyways. During her suspension announcement, did Nikki Haley endorse Trump for president?
Hell no.
You are correct for the point. She did not. Here's what Nikki Haley said.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
Ooh. I love that she's been taking down Trump. I love it. It makes me so happy.
I mean, are you excited for a Trump-Biden rematch?
Yeah, clearly, yeah. You can feel the energy in the room.
You know, to be serious about it on this show, this is very troubling. Because you've never had candidates before where the two candidates both have unbelievably low approval ratings. People don't like them. And yet the system has spit these two people out as though, and look, there's a big difference between the two of them. I'm not both sidesing this, but they've spit out these candidates as though these are the very best that the country has to offer. That's going to hurt people's faith in democracy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. With Haley out of the picture, the 2024 presidential race is set to definitely become one for the aged. Ages. The Wall Street Journal headline reads, Biden versus Trump, a familiar matchup in an unprecedented election. What is it that makes this so unprecedented?
There are so many things that make this unprecedented. It's the first election that is sponsored by mobility scooters and reverse mortgages. But I think the actual answer to this question, Gavin, is I'm pretty sure this is true. I believe that this is the first ever election where both candidates are older white men.
It's never happened before.
All right, Adjonis, it's time to spin the big wheel of announcements.
Okay, let's get ready for this.
Ooh. Wow.
Yes.
Didn't even go all the way around.
It did it. I'm weak. I'm a weak person.
You have landed on That's No Joke. This week, the comedy community was reeling from a sudden announcement. For the point, what announcement had everyone crying? That's not funny.
They're banning puns, Footloose style.
I mean, I might be on board for that. It is not banning of puns. Gene?
Just for Laughs is going bankrupt in Montreal.
That's close for the point. The Globe and Mail headline reads, Just for Laughs 2024 festival canceled as group files for creditor protection. JFL has canceled their 2024 festival in Montreal. Is this the end of Just for Rear?
I could only imagine someone out there is saying, Mommy, it's over. It's a Victor reference for those who know.
The company says, no, it is not over. It is just undergoing a restructuring and hopes to be back in 2025.
Yes. Here's the thing. JFL is very pre-internet and it used to have an institutional hold on comedy that it just doesn't quite have anymore. And sure, it's an important part of being an up-and-coming comedian to develop your skill, showcase for JFL, get on those stages and network, but it's not the be-all, and it never really has been the be-all and all of comedy. That always has been on the day-to-day basis. How are you moving yourself forward one step at a time? And TikTok and YouTube and podcasts and all of these avenues are great ways for you to take hold of your own destiny. Get out there and make people laugh.
Awesome. Way to go.
All right, very well done. But wait, there's even more announcing to be done this week. Nat Nenshi, spin the wheel of announcements.
All right, all right, all right. $1, $1, $1.
Oh, you've landed on The Block. Can you guess the major announcement we were gifted this week from The Block?
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. Jenny from The Block. Jennifer Lopez is promoting an album and a movie and a movie about the album and an album about the movie about the album.
I'll give you a hint. It is news from the New Kids on the Block.
They have a new album.
You are correct. Wow. For the point. The headline from ABC News reads, New Kids on the Block announced first new album in 11 years. Bonus point, what is the title of the New Kids on the Block album?
Old Men on the Block.
Apt. Jonas, any idea?
New Kids on the Block, : we all actually have new kids.
Grandkids.
All good guesses. They went with Still Kids.
Oh.
Okay.
Bonus point for whoever can name the most New Kids on the Block.
Oh, gosh. Donnie? Jordan? They're all cousins.
They're all cousins.
Yes, you got Donnie Wahlberg, Jordan Knight, Jonathan Knight.
Jonathan and Joey.
Joey McIntyre.
Oh, yeah.
And Danny Wood. Household names, Adonis.
Household? Okay. While they were kids on the block, I was an egg in the fallopian, so I don't know.
Here's a clip from their new single, Kids.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a good song. Surprisingly. Singer Donnie Wahlberg said that this album is the most blank album they have ever released. This album is the most what album they have ever released?
Recent.
That's it. Yeah.
Solid guess. Any other guesses?
I actually know the answer to this question, and I think it's funnier than any joke. He said it's the most mature album they've ever released.
Yeah, that is correct for the point. Donnie Wahlberg said this is the most mature album we've ever released. So get ready to hear New Kids on the Block on Radio 2. Before we move on from this round of Wheel of Announcements, I just have to ask, apropos of nothing, if anyone on the panel has any announcements they like to make about anything.
Why is everyone looking at me?
No reason.
I wasn't going to say anything, but now that you ask me, I think I have to make an announcement. Everyone in Alberta, if you follow Alberta politics, has been asking me, am I going to swap out the purple for orange? I wasn't going to say anything, but here I go. Yes. And let me tell you,
wow.
As of Monday, I will start a new chapter because I am officially being named the assistant manager of the Orange Julius at Marlboro Mall.
Oh, yes! It's exactly what I was hoping for. This is Because News. We've got Nahed Nenshi, Gene Yoon, and Adonis Charlie. Yeah. Follow us on TikTok for short clips and facial expressions. It is time, panel, for a fake movie trailer. Have a listen to this teaser for an upcoming horror flick and be ready for questions.
This spring, it's big, it's dark, and it's back.
Whoa, look up there! What is that?
Quinn, get inside quick and pull the blinds now!
On April 8th, don't look up.
Children, just focus on the ground. It'll be okay.
But I want to see it. Maybe just a peek.
Coming this April, Totality. Don't get caught in its path. Wow.
There's your ominous movie trailer panel. For the point, what real-life horror will be terrorizing Canadian schoolyards next month?
I've heard that Federal Minister of the Environment, Stephen Guilbeault, is going on a school tour to tell the children they're all going to die because roads exist, and his ego is so large it will blot out the sun.
Ooh. That's a good guess.
Very good guess. Nahed Adonis.
You said don't look up, so is Drake planning on sitting on the CN Tower again? Is that going to happen?
Gene, any ideas?
Well, it's either an attack of Easter bunnies or the total solar eclipse.
You are correct for the point. The headline from the Ottawa Citizen reads, safety concerns over April 8th solar eclipse mean day off from school, at least for some. On Monday, April 8th, a rare total solar eclipse will be visible across many parts of Canada. Easy point here. What is a total eclipse?
Of the heart?
Yeah.
It means the moon passes between the sun and the earth.
But what is so dangerous about an eclipse?
If you look directly at it, you start questioning legitimate election results and start an insurrection.
17?
You can be blinded if you look at it.
Correct. Looking directly at the eclipse without appropriate protection can result in partial or complete loss of eyesight. There is a reason this particular eclipse is causing extra worry for school boards. Why is this particular eclipse extra worrisome?
I think it's because they think that kids are all going to look up and go blind. But I think differently. I think it's going to look more like any modern day concert where it's just going to be phones in the air and eyes occupying literally anything else.
No one's going to be looking anyways?
No.
Gene, do you know?
The timing of it in Toronto and in Ottawa, the height of it is just as school's getting out. And I can't imagine if I had an 8-year-old and I had to pick them up at 3:15, 3:30, just as the total eclipse is happening, it would be really challenging to keep the kids from looking. I'd want to look, wouldn't you?
You are correct, Gene. Depending on where you live, the eclipse will last from 2:15 p.m. to 4:45 p.m., which is right when many kids will be walking home or on school buses, famous for their strict supervision. In response to the total solar eclipse, Ottawa's largest school board is canceling school outright. Other boards are dismissing students early. The Toronto District School Board has taken a different approach. What is their solution to the eclipse problem?
Let them look. The kids gotta learn.
I heard that they put Metrolinx in charge of the solar eclipse so that it will never happen.
They decided to change their PA day from April 19th to April 8th, so the teachers will be in school, but the kids will be staying home.
Oh, that's clever.
Ontario's education minister has voiced his displeasure with the school closings. One Ottawa school trustee said this is a missed opportunity to guide students through a rare, live, and dazzling scientific experience.
No, I think that'd be cool. You know, I remember the last total eclipse. A bunch of us got out on the lawn of City Hall with cereal box viewfinders and passed them around to one another, and I was not a kid. But it was really cool, and I think it would be nice to be able to have that experience with your classmates.
It would be great if they actually extended school, like, until the most dangerous part is over and that the kids could experience that with proper eclipse glasses. That would be great, but...
That's such a mom thing to say. What if school is longer? Maybe, you know what? What if school went till 9? Question, can you view the eclipse through your phone? What's your legitimate guess? Do you think it's safe to look at through your phone or no?
I think it probably would be.
My guess is that it would not be, and it would also be bad for the phone.
You would be correct, at least according to NASA. They say absolutely not. Do not look at it through your phone. There's no solar filter on the camera of a phone.
Okay, but why the attitude? Absolutely
not. Because they're NASA and they don't want you to go blind.
Okay.
Because the last time they told somebody not to look at the eclipse, it was the president.
right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Of course, solar eclipses have historically been viewed as omens that bring death and destruction. But in reality, they are harmless. As long as you protect your eyes, people, I cannot say this enough. But they have inspired a lot of pop cultures. Let's see who can eclipse their competition now.
Oh boy.
With a lightning round. First person to answer wins, so answer as quickly as possible. Here we go. The third book in this vampire series is called Eclipse. What vampire series?
Twilight.
Oh.
Nod for the point. A solar eclipse helped verify whose theory of relativity?
Ding, Einstein.
Correct. It's Albert Einstein.
I got Twilight and you got Einstein.
What is happening?
Complete the lyric of this Carly Simon song. Have a listen. You flew your Learjet up to Nova Scotia to
see the total eclipse of the sun.
That is correct.
When you flew your Learjet up to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun.
Panel, there is a name for people who travel around the world to view solar eclipses. What are those people called?
Rich people with no children.
Good guess.
Moonies?
It is, in fact, umbrophiles.
Really?
Umbrophiles.
People who love shadows.
Yes, Latin for shadow lovers. Here's an easy one, panel. Shakespeare's 35th sonnet references a solar eclipse. How does that go?
I don't know, but good for him for writing 35. Those are hard.
My love's eyes are nothing like the sun.
Ooh, that is a good guess.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Stanza from the 35th sonnet is this. Clouds and eclipses stain both moon and sun, and loathsome canker lives in sweetest bud.
Wow.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
Because news.
Hi, I'm Jessie Cruikshank.
Jessie Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
Panel, it is time to play Connect Four. Here's how this works. I'm going to give you a puzzle based on a headline from this week. Have a listen to these four things and tell me, if you can, what they all have in common. Here are your four things. Poison. Worms. Razor blades. Bruises.
Canada Reads 2024.
It's competitive.
That is a tough gig. Jonas?
Things you probably don't want inside of you. Think about it.
I mean, you're right, but that's not what I was looking for. Gene, poison, worms, razor blades, bruises.
Poison, worms, razor blades, bruises. Pretty much any period Korean drama set in the Chosun era.
That is also a good guess, but this was based on a headline from this week.
What apples, it's apples.
That is correct. They are all things that can make an apple bad, and an apple being bad featured heavily in this week's headlines. This week, a BC Supreme Court judge approved a multi-million dollar settlement against tech giant Apple. For the point, why does Apple now owe some Canadians money?
So I know this because I actually have the phone in question, which is that Apple put out a software update for older iPhones, and the software update throttled the iPhones and ruined the battery life. But the good news is you can now get $15 if you have the serial number of the phone that you stopped using 15 years ago.
That is correct for the point. The CBC headline reads, Apple to pay up to $14.4 million in iPhone throttling settlement. The class action lawsuit accused the company of deliberately providing software updates that slowed some older iPhones. Apple denies the allegations and is not admitting wrongdoing, but has agreed to pay the settlement.
Now, in news you can use, I just figured this out myself, which is they're going to pay the money anyway. And depending on how many people can find the serial number, the amount you'll get is more. It'll be divided by however many people actually do it. So, folks, see if that box that you know you never threw out because it was a good box is still in the basement somewhere.
Wait, why are you telling them this? The less people do it, the more money we get.
News you can use, Gavin. I'm a public servant.
Ixnay on the ice nay. Do you ever feel like you've been throttled?
Canada Reads.
I do want to say this. I do think Apple products and iPhones started going downhill the more internet connected they got. I kind of miss the iPod Nano, the Shuffle. I think those were the peak of the iPhone era. Things started going downhill once they stopped airing that Feist commercial, is what I'm saying. It's a great commercial.
You could be right. It was right around that time. And Feist is Canadian, so she may also get money back.
Calgarian, to be clear.
Calgarian.
The settlement applies to residents in all provinces except for Quebec, where a separate class action is ongoing. Owners of Series 6 and 7 iPhones purchased before December 2017 with certain operating systems could be eligible. Eligible Canadians will be able to receive between $17 and $150.
Whoa. Go look for that nice box.
Yeah, you could get up to $150, folks, if someone didn't blab all over the
airwaves about how to get your money back.
The good
back.
News is nobody's listening.
That's true.
BecauseNews.ca.
Panel, sometimes the news just stinks. This week's headlines were awash in foul odors. We all know the saying, he who smelt it dealt it. But science says otherwise. That's right, a brand new technology is finally able to pinpoint exactly where certain gas is coming from. For the point, what is this new technology?
It's an odorometer. It's a Bluetooth-connected device that will measure parts per million of all kinds of gases. Carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, alcohol. You can use it as breathalyzer. Yeah, attached to your phone.
That would be terrifying. Nahed, any idea?
It's a woman's nose. But they figured out a way to send it into space on a satellite.
You're in the ballpark. It is a methane-sniffing satellite. What is the methane-sniffing satellite called?
Methane-sat.
Methane-sat. How does the satellite sniff out methane?
I unfortunately am going to take a crack at this question. So a satellite has a sensor on it. It sends down a beam of light at a certain wavelength. That beam bounces back into a sensor that is on the satellite. And depending on the properties of the material that is hitting, it can tell, based on the response, what the substance it is looking at is. And it can decipher certain qualities about that material that it's hitting.
Wow. I don't care if that's true or not. I just want it to be true.
Yeah. I'm going to say it is because I wasn't paying attention. Methane sat circles the Earth every 95 minutes, spotting plumes of methane. And then it will take that data and make it public. The Nature headline reads, "This methane-sniffing satellite will leave climate polluters nowhere to hide." Why, for an easy point, are climate scientists targeting methane?
It's even worse than carbon dioxide.
Much worse.
Yeah. Methane is responsible for 30% of global heating, driving the climate crisis. Methane goes by some other names you may know. What are the other common names for methane?
Fart gas.
Well, I mean, of course, it's CH4, carbon tetrahydrate. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Carbon tetrahydride.
I was going to correct you, but I thought I wouldn't.
Some people call it swamp gas.
Swamp gas?
And it is the primary component, but not the entire component, of natural gas. And that is your Alberta moment.
That is correct for the point. Marsh gas, swamp gas.
Yeah.
More than 150 countries have signed a global methane pledge to cut their emissions of the gas by 30%. Once MethaneSat is up and running and publishing its findings, what will the penalties be for prominent emitters?
Not much, but we will passively, aggressively crack a window open.
Any other guesses? What will the penalties be?
It will be the same as the very real penalties for governments that make commitments to climate change and don't do anything about them. That would be absolutely nothing.
You are correct for the points. Methane wasn't the only offensive gas spewing across the headlines this week. A yard in Montreal had neighborhood residents plugging their noses. Have a listen to this CBC News clip.
The smell can be overwhelming. Some people say that it smells like rancid cheese, but for Delisi,
it's more vomit and rotten fruit mixed together.
That's Dino Delisi, owner of the offending property. For the point, what is stinking up this Montreal neighborhood?
Teenagers. Between 13 and about 15, they're rank.
That is a good guess. No, Jonas?
Is it the English? Stinking up.
It is not. What it actually is something known as a ginkgo tree. There's a ginkgo tree in his front yard, but not just any ginkgo tree. It's a very specific type of ginkgo causing this terrible smell.
A teenage ginkgo.
An Ontarian ginkgo.
Here's the CBC report again.
About 5 years ago, he noticed the tree had fruit on it. A visit from a tree expert confirmed
the borough had accidentally planted a female tree.
The female trees produce seed pods, and the seed pods give off a very foul odor when they decompose. The CBC headline reads, "We visit the tree that smells like vomit, and the owner who could be jailed if he cuts it down."
Please, please, please do not tell me it is because it is a city tree and there is a bylaw preventing him from cutting it down.
You are 100% correct.
Oh,
it
man.
Is a bylaw. According to a city bylaw, only trees infected by pests or trees deemed dangerous by a professional can be cut down. So hold your nose and enjoy.
I'm very triggered by this.
As a former mayor, you're like, what? We've got to keep the stinky trees?
Honestly, we should keep patriarchy. Forces women to smell like daisies and roses all the time. I'm pro female ginkgo. I say hashtag let her stink.
Somehow we've reached the end of this episode of Because News. Our champion this week is Nahed Netchi. Congratulations, you have the honor of reading our credits. I am Gavin Crawford, wishing you all a happy daylight savings time. Whether you are setting your clock forward this weekend or just leaving it and making a mental note that it will be wrong until November. We'll see you next week. Why?
Because news.
Give it up for Nahed Netchi.
Hey Canada, this is Nahed Netchi. I lost Canada Reads, but inexplicably won Because News. Congratulations to my runners-up, Gene Yoon and Adjonis Charlie. Because News is written and produced by Shannon Higgins, David Carroll, Gavin Crawford, Phil Lung, and Jess Klimowski. This week, they had help from the brilliant Cliff Cardinal and John Blair. Rounding out the team, Aaron Conway, Bronwyn Page, Chris Lyons, and our recording engineer, Doug Doctor.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.